This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Hello, welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I don't know what episode we are.
We've stopped counting.
I'm joined by Rumaj. Hello, Rumaj.
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm not happy.
No.
My train journey was hijacked by a stranger.
The worst.
Like, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I was just about to get the train.
Yeah.
Somebody came up to me, started talking to me, and then decided he's going to join me for the whole journey.
Did you tell him early on what your train stop was?
He asked me where I was going. I said London Bridge, and he said me too.
So you can't get off?
No. And also, we had to take about 3 trains. And also, I'm not convinced he really did want to go to London Bridge. I think he changed his
journey. He was only going one stop.
Yeah. I think he was getting to Catwick. And he was just desperate to have a chat. It was the fucking worst. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah.
Good. What do you think of this chat?
It's a good start.
Cool.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
Listen, I am absolutely, when I say over the moon, I mean it. The most exciting talent in UK hip hop, I think. Ocean Wisdom, how you doing, mate?
Hey, big up, Roy.
Mate, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Pleasure, man.
I'm coming straight out of Brighton. A crazy motherfucker named Wizzy. Sirens in the city like I'm rolling around with Dizzy. You was in the basement with a pet, I'm getting picky. I was in the basement with a couple apes, I'm getting sticky. Making a brother go high pitch. What are these men telling me that when I get on the mic, it's a high ting? Vibes in, don't wanna hear no violin. Big beat from the diet like 666, that time again.
Listen, your album is the best thing I've heard in ages, man. I love it. I properly love it.
Hey, wicked.
How's it going down?
It's good, man. It's going well. We've just been like touring and just, you know, promoting it. And once you drop it, that's when the work starts, you know what I mean? So just going around, doing the rounds.
When you put out an album, is there any element of you that's sort of shitting yourself about the reception? Or did you know that you were sitting on a good record?
There's like so much less pressure when you're before you're like known and established, because it's like you have your whole life to make your first album, and not everyone's listening at that particular time, so you think, well, if it's good enough, it'll get the attention, and if it's not good enough, it'll just kind of fizzle under the like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just won't really matter. So the pressure's less, I think. Then when you got a second album, it's like, oh, okay, you got something to live up to now.
Yeah.
I mean, I was always confident, but the pressure wasn't really on for me. I was just like, I'll make it sick and it'll do the job.
So were you excited when it was about to come out?
Yeah, definitely. And like a lot of work went into it. Like, we kind of built up the ammo, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so like we were dropping it consistently every sort of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we kind of watched the hype build up. And then when we dropped it, it was just like the reception was mad. So yeah, I was excited, definitely. Mad excited.
Do you have a situation where like, this album, when this album came together, did you have like loads of tracks and you picked your favourites, or how did it work? Or did you have an idea of like doing it as one unit or what?
That's the thing, what I mean, like when you have your whole life to make the first album, like some of those lyrics and ideas were sort of formed when I was like 15, 16,
right.
I was writing lyrics. So like, there were certain, not full lyrics, but just certain ideas that were formed when I was 16. So, you know, you get to like 20 and or 19 or whatever, and you're like, okay, I've got like my new stuff, what I'm working on, and that's going to be in the album. But also, there's certain things that like define me as an artist that I have to include. Just so happened that I wrote that when I was 16, and like that's like the skeleton of the song, maybe.
Yeah.
And you make it better with your experience.
Do you feel like you get, because obviously one of your strongest, I mean, people, your flow is just insane, right? And like, you're sort of, it's amazing. It's like, and you sort of mix it up and stuff like that. So do you find that you are getting better? Like, so will you write a new bit and go, that's the best thing I've got. Or,
yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's the thing. Flow is so measurable. Like, it's different. When you've got, like, a good lyric, it's hard to measure it.
Yeah.
It's quite subjective, whereas flow is a lot less subjective. It's like, oh, no, that's kind of good or it's not sort of thing. So I understood the flow. That was the hardest thing, was, like, understanding, like, the art of it. And once you understand it, you can just build on it.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I'm doing at the moment.
So you feel like you're sort of learning as you go sort of thing?
Or? Literally, I feel like it's almost like, imagine you're doing like a kick-up or something with a football and you learn around the world, and then next thing you learn, you want to put a little twist on it. That's the same thing when you like you get a flow or like a specific syllabic pattern that you like, and then you just like edit it, tweak it, make it better, cut a bit out, bring it back in four bars later or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's weird, like, but it's proper, like, it's quite an introverted sort of, it's quite intern, like, I have this whole method and this whole thing going on when I sit down and I do it.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult to explain, but that was, like, the hardest thing to develop for me personally, was, like, knowing, being sure what was good and what wasn't good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can relate to that, Ramesh.
Yeah, I
didn't. Your approach to comedy is very similar.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. It's different to yours, Ocean, in terms of... what I do is I just threw a load of shit at the wall and hope that something stuck, basically. And then
Since I was 16.
Yeah. Well, actually, my first gig, mate, now that you're asking, I was nine. So.
Nine?
Yeah, Pontins Holiday Camp.
Oh, yeah. What did you open with?
I opened with, well, I did the whole set in a Sri Lankan accent.
Ah. And it was a character.
Safe bet.
It was a character.
Play the safe bet.
It was a character. And by the way, if you want to do that, Ocean, like, just drop a track in a Sri Lankan accent. Honestly, it adds something. And none of the material was my own as well. I took it from a joke book. But I won.
Great.
Here's a little pitch that we like to call. How did you get into hip hop?
I want to ask you, how old are you?
23 now.
23 now. So that's...
I've aged since that conversation.
Offensively,
we had the other week,
offensively
ago.
Young. What made you get into hip hop as opposed to anything else? Sort of, how did it happen? Because you're from Brighton, right?
Yeah, yeah. What made me get into hip hop? Well, I have, like, in my family, it's like quite, I don't know, my dad used to listen to a lot of reggae, and like, there would always be, like, you know, some certain reggae songs, the beginning of the song, you have some man just doing some crazy chant to introduce the song.
Yeah.
And that was always the bit that I would always know that bit.
Yeah.
Of these random songs that he would play, and then, like, it developed into, I used to listen to Razel, the beatboxer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just thought it was mad when I was a kid. And I liked Eminem, and I liked rap in general. And then I got into Razel and started beatboxing loads. And that's why I kind of, like, it was a natural progression onto hip hop, because I loved hip hop. I loved doing, like, sort of making funny noises with your mouth and stuff.
Yeah.
But then you get to a certain age and you're like, oh, I've got to, like, make some, if I want to make some music, I can't just, like, do it with beatboxing. I need to, like, make the actual track. And I always wanted to rap, so, like, it was just a natural progression. But, like, it's always been in my family.
Did you ever, like, what sort of artists, like, hip-hop artists, did you sort of grow up liking?
Definitely, as, like, a young kid, what was accessible to me was people like Eminem.
Yeah.
A little bit Wu-Tang and stuff like that. But to be fair, I was, like, obsessed with fast rap.
Right.
So it would only really be, like, Busta Rhymes and Eminem that was just, like, super accessible to me.
Yeah.
Then I got to an age where I started doing a bit of, like, internet surfing, and I, like, found out about Tech N9ne and a couple of other people that are just, like, mad quick flows. I got into that. Say hello to Tech N9ne. Everybody wanna be down with a nigga when we get a whip of the money, thinking of taking it from me. They get up in the club, giving the love, throwing the pussy full of liquor and bud. Booty hopping around, up in the mo, get to looking around every hole when I look a nigga low. Infatuated with niggas with dough, get them in a second, try to make them let it go. Tech N9ne. But then I kind of grew out of that and just kind of, like, wanted to, like, just have that as a aspect of my rap arsenal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't want to just, like, be known as, like, a fast rapper or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just thought that would be a little aspect.
Because I was going to ask you about that, because you sort of got, like, I guess, kind of mainstream media sort of hate, because people said that you were the... You come out... I can't remember what track it was, but somebody said, oh, this guy's as fast as Eminem, or it's faster than Eminem. Or,
yeah.
And there was, like... I think it was, like, in the Metro or something like that, was it? Or something,
yeah,
was it?
That was kind of crazy. Basically, like, that was just... like, I still, the maths is kind of lost on me, but basically, if you take away, if you work out the average words per second or something, is that what it is? Something like that.
We also, so I should say, we're joined by Putnam, who's Ocean's DJ. Sorry, he hasn't, I didn't want you to feel, Putnam, that I'm leaving you out. Yeah, but they're sharing a mic, so it's very difficult. He's been sitting, sort of being polite.
Speak when spoken to.
I saw him getting nervous about drinking from the bottle in case that came up on the recording. But don't worry, mate. Everything's included. Sorry, but I should mention he's here.
Yeah, hello, everyone. Yeah, the walking thing, what was that? That was, I think it was the amount of words per second, excluding the intro. And the chorus. It's quite specific.
It's like a specific thing, but then like, because obviously there's loads of people that have rapped like real fast on a song and that, but it had to fit the criteria and it had to have charted. And so that's why when, so like someone noticed it in like my camp or whatever, and then they we tried to get it verified, and then Guinness messaged back like, we thought they were going to be like, you know,
leave
whatever. And then they were like, oh, you're onto something. And then they were like, we'll get back to you. And then that's when we messaged like, you need that and stuff.
Yeah.
And well, I think they caught on because like it was, everyone was talking about it in like my circle, and then they just sent us a message like, yeah, we were gonna run the story. And then they ran the story, and obviously with stuff like that, people assume you're trying to say that you're like, oh, this kid's trying to say he's better than Eminem. What's he saying? It's just well annoying. That's the only thing I don't like about it. Other than that, it's all positive. It's all wicked. But like,
if you're talking about internet abuse, mate, that's something I can't relate to. I mean, I reckon I get called a cunt on Twitter like 8 times a day. So don't worry about that, mate. You're in a safe space here.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just like people. Yeah, they just think like, they think like, you know, someone runs an article on you, then that must be you've
gone to
yourself.
Them and said, listen, yeah, yeah. I'm better than Eminem, you need to run an article.
Never that, like that's on, yeah, he's like, I'm a big fan of Eminem, do you know what I mean? It's like inspiration for me. So like it was, but it's cool though, because obviously you can imagine from my point of view, like 2 years ago I was like sat in my room, and then like now people are arguing on my videos over where who's better out, and like who, and like people are like, no, like, yeah, okay, old school Eminem, yeah, cool, but like right now, come on. And then like, okay, and I'm just sitting there reading this, like, I use it like,
do you ever, like, do you ever get tempted to set up an alias and then just start going, no, Ocean's aren't much better than Eminem, man, and just sit back and watch it? Not that I would do that on any of my videos, but I just
start.
Do you know what? Yeah, you get tempted, and then you scroll down and you see someone doing it for you, and you think, yeah, sick. Like,
yeah.
Like you got, there's people out there that are supporting it massively to the point where they'll make outrageous statements like that, backing you up. And so, you know, it's all good. And
I always think it's dangerous to read the comments, because like I just get nervous that one day I'm going to read a comment where somebody's extensively planned how they'll kill me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Although I guess
there'll be evidence.
It would be good to stumble onto that. Yeah. Basically, there's lots of elements to what we did, because it's interesting you're talking about rapping quickly and you didn't want to make that your thing. Because I remember when I saw that article and I listened to quite a bit of your stuff, I thought the one thing that you wouldn't want is somebody to come to you thinking that that's all you're all about. And I think the thing that you've got is, obviously you've got like the production. Is it Dirty? Did Dirty Dyke do everything? Or
everything.
Is it? Right.
Yeah.
So the production's amazing. But it's not just the fast rapping, but you also mix it up. And then also you can write a hook as well. Are these all things that you'd sort of worked on and studied or thought about carefully?
I feel like the hook writing is something that's actually one of my favourite parts of it. So like if I was just going on what I thought personally I was bringing to the track, I'd say, okay, well, I know that my hook writing is like is one of my personal things that I think is like a personal tribute of mine, along with my the fast flow and that. But I'd say the hooks is something that I really enjoy doing. So that's always been like my sort of, I've always felt safe and comfortable in the knowledge that I can do my hooks, because like the flow thing, the fast flow thing, it's all like, as a rapper you want to be able to do the fast flow thing, and that's cool, but like there's other people that do the fast flow thing, but not everyone can like combine the thing. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to combine the fast flow with a good hook, and then people just have to like, I don't know, I was hoping, I was trying to put people in a position where they had to appreciate it a little bit on some level. Do you know what I mean?
I mean it's like, it's sort of, if you can write a hook, it just elevates the song, I think. Do you know what I mean?
Because the
thing is, there's so many artists. I always go back to like Cannabis, right?
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know if you ever listened to Cannabis, but like he was like an amazing rapper, but just couldn't write a song. Like couldn't write a song basically. So it's just all verses. The verses are good, but you'd never ever want to listen to it ever again in your life. So
it's like a common thing. It's like a Achilles heel of most rappers.
Yeah.
Is that they just can't write the hooks.
And one-dimensional rappers, aren't
they? Yeah, a lot of one-dimensional rappers, and like that's the whole thing. It's like you gotta, it's like, do you know where it's like? Yeah, it's like you can't go on MasterChef and just be like, oi, I make the most banging like roast.
Yeah.
And just get through and win on that. Do you know what I mean? You have
you've
to
got
be able
to do risotto
to do,
as well.
Got, yeah, you've got to do risotto. And it's just like, people, rappers aren't trying to do the risotto, basically. Yeah.
It's hard to do risotto.
We might put that as a quote on the thing. Yeah. Ocean says that you can't fucking step your risotto game up,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
And how did you get to, how did you hook up with High Focus?
I was working with Dirty Dyke before I hooked up with High Focus because
right.
through like a friend in Brighton. He's a bit older than me, but I had him like at the time I must have been about 16 or something, 17, and I was just with my mate who's the same age as Dyke, and they were friends, so they kind of, I happened to be with him, and then he was like, oh yeah, what's going on? I'll put round, I'm with my mate. And yeah, just put around, and then I think the person I was with was trying to record, but he was too drunk. That was it. He kept trying to record something, and he wasn't drunk, but he just had a few too many that he couldn't get it the way he wanted to get it. And he was like, ah. And then Dyke was playing some beats, and I was just like, oi, that's a mad one.
Yeah.
And that was Walking what he played. And
right,
then,
right.
And then I knew who Dirty Dyke was, and I liked his music and stuff, so I was just like quite keen to just like smash it out in one take. Just do it the best I could.
See me, I'm walking. Why? Cause I don't run, fam. Make a film about me, find a proper fucking stunt, man. I'm Captain Wiz and I'm actually shoving dirt in the dust, and I'm blowing it back in faces of wastemen who try and brush, man. I get a wheel in the club on a microphone. They didn't know I handle bars. It's a minor though. They offer me some gear, but I'm overtired. All this talk and make a bread. I wanna cycle home. Yo.
After that, because that went really well, that particular recording session. And by the end of it, we had Walking, and then he. I don't know what he thought, but he messaged me like, let's do another track. And then I went back, did another one, and then another one, and another one. And then I must have dropped the video for Walking on my channel, and it started getting views and getting heat and stuff. And then High Focus contacted them and were like, yeah, let's do an album.
And it is sort of the most exciting movement in UK hip hop, isn't it? High Focus, that whole collective, like everything they put out is good, right? Do you, this is what I wanted to ask you about. So I just heard, is it, I can't remember which track it is, but on the new Flip Tricks album, you've got a guest verse.
And Burn It.
Yeah, called, yeah. And you smashed it, right? So do you, when you do the guest verses, because yeah. I know if I'm doing a gig with other comedians,
yeah,
I definitely want, I mean, my desire to see other comedians fail is absolutely paramount,
yeah.
But are you going in there thinking I need to have
very Flip Tricks?
Yeah.
Not in a horrible way.
Yeah,
on a competitive one. Yeah, that's the mentality. Like when he sent me the track, I was like, ooh, all right, cool. And then I sat. That's the mentality. Like you sit down, you write the best thing you can.
Yeah.
And you go up and then you put it out there, and like, you know, he would have said to me, he'd have been like, bro, like, do the best you can, and I could call him up and I'd be like, oh bro, I don't know if you want to release this now. Do you know what I mean? It's all battle, but at the same time, like, it's competitive.
Slapping a brother up on the back of the head if he tried to dress me wrong, and I best be strong if I man handle him, and then that's handling. In fact, that's execution from a standing swing, and as a matter of fact, I wouldn't stand by him when you get hit with a skull on a random thing. I see the minimum amount of animation given to a situation, now my brother's gonna handle it.
And but at the same time as well, like, we got different fan bases as well, and with different styles,
so it's
very easy for us to combine, because like, we're not stepping on each other's toes.
Yeah.
If there was like another Ocean Wisdom and he sent me his track and he was doing a skippy flow, I'd be a bit like, who's this guy? Oh, come on, let me demolish this guy quickly. And
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The one thing on your album is like, because obviously if people think fast rap or skippy flow or whatever, they think all the tracks are going to be really high tempo, but it's not the case. Like, for example, Devilish, right?
Yeah.
That's like one of my favourite tracks on the album.
Oh, thanks, man.
But that beat is proper like menacing.
Yeah.
And then your flow on the top of it is like, is it more difficult to flow on to do it on a slower track or?
No, because I personally feel like I can notice when I see other rappers rapping, I can notice their thoughts easier on a slower track.
Right.
Because there's more, like they don't try and do the skippy stuff, and then when they do the slow stuff, like you can hear the sort of. So for me, when I have to slow it down, it's just an opportunity to like emphasize what I've been practicing.
Because you've got shitloads of punchlines, right? And then when you're rapping really quickly, there's one bit like, there's one bit where you talk about somebody talked to you and he slept with his mum for the disrespect or something. Do you remember that? Right. Yeah. But look, when I
Shag man's mum for the violation.
Yeah, that's it. Shag's man's mum for the violation. You said it so quickly. I only caught it, I reckon, the fourth time I heard that song, right? So it's like, it sort of rewards, I guess, repeated listens. But I guess if you're doing a slower thing, are you conscious that you've got to make the lyrics, that the punchline's heavier? Like, you're sort of almost, you're not throwing them away when you're rapping quickly, but they're more difficult to catch, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think that I don't compromise on the bars when I go faster.
Yeah.
That's what I like to kind of stick to. But at the same time, if I'm doing a really slow lyric, it's like, I'm not trying to impress them with the flow necessarily.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to impress them with the lyrics, so I might, I'll be thinking more about the lyric when I'm writing it. Whereas if I've got a fast one, you've got to consider the flow and the lyric and make it work together.
Yeah.
But if the flow is really easy because it's a slow track and it's just simple, then you can just kind of like really branch out with the words. But I don't know, man, it depends from song to song, because some songs you hear a slow beat and I'll be like, even though it's a slow beat, a consistent flow on this track, like, it's gonna work. And then you might hear a fast beat and you might think, oh, it's a fast beat, but I need to go complex on it as well.
Yeah.
So it kind of differs from track to track, really.
And do you think, like, you'll sort of, are you thinking about what you're gonna do next, like album wise or record wise, or are you sort of just pushing this album?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I'm gonna release another album pretty soon, but like not so soon that it's like
steps on this one.
Yeah. I'm coming to the end of the tour of this one, and then next year, sort of April time, May time, I'm going to drop another one,
right.
I think. That's the plan anyway. I'm kind of working on it. But it's weird because like I said, you got like your whole life to make the first one, and then you drop the first one and people are waiting on the second one, and you might have a year if you're being quick. And then out of that year, I've been touring for like 9 months of it. So now I'm just thinking, right, okay, let me take 3 months off and just like work on some music.
I did, when I did like my first Edinburgh, like my first full show, like our show, obviously you got ages, you pick all of your material and you go and do that show. And then I had to do Edinburgh the following year. And I remember like I started writing the show straight away, and it got to like, because it's August Edinburgh, right? So you've got to work to August deadline to do your show. I remember like September, October, I've been gigging my ass off and I had about 15 minutes of stuff. And I thought, wicked, I'm fucking ahead of the game here. And then I sat back a bit, and then it got to fucking June. And I thought, shit, I've still only got that like 15 minutes, right? So I started writing my ass off and just going to gigs. And I was turning up at gigs, like doing material, going, please let this work, please let this work, because I need more minutes. And I remember I nearly had a panic attack the first night of Edinburgh, like, because like, I was sat backstage and the audience were coming in, and I started thinking, I've got a fucking show. This is a nightmare. What the hell am I going to do? Like, this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
In the end, it was all right. But that second show or second out, or that panic is... it's hard. Do you know what I mean? Because you sort of think,
I bet.
It's just like, it's just a pressure. Do you know what I mean? But
have you ever drawn a blank on stage? You ever been talking about something, forgot what you're talking about on stage?
Yeah, loads of times. Or, like I've, particularly doing new material, because like, I've sort of you know, when you sort of you're going halfway for a bit and then you go, I don't know where this is going really.
It's an easy laugh, isn't it, that one?
Yeah. Oh yeah, the number of laughs I get for going, well, that was shit. Do you know what I mean? But you can't build a career off.
Really,
I mean, I have
in
to a degree.
In a hip-hop tune.
Yeah, you can't do that on a. But sometimes you do go blank, or sometimes you just die. You just die on your ass. I mean, that's the thing with music. I guess you get crowds that are more like up for it than other crowds.
Right. Yeah.
But with comedy, you very quickly find out if it's going badly because you're playing a silence, and then you just think, "Fucking hell."
Yeah, you can put a beat on. You can't.
Yeah. It's just
deafening silence.
I couldn't relate until about 2 months ago. We did that Red Bull thing. That was.
What was that?
That was a cappella.
Right.
So you're doing stuff a cappella, and like obviously, and it was a big lineup as well. A lot, like there were some big people in there. So I'm just there thinking, what? None of us have got a beat. No, like everyone's just got to sit in silence for the whole show. But it worked. It was cool. It was different. But when you step on stage and the beat doesn't start playing. And you can hear your own breathing on the microphone. I was just holding it like far enough away so that I couldn't hear myself breathe, because that throws me off, that sort of stuff.
Imagine watching a comedian do half an hour and you can hear his breathing because there's no laughter. That's what happened to me. I thought...
And heavy swallowing.
Lots of gulps. You can hear him thinking about what other job he's going to do after this. Horrible, mate. But it is hard.
I had cramp on stage the other day in Bulgaria, and it was actually... I thought I was just going to laugh it off and be fine, and by the time I got on stage it was going to be cool, because it was at a ski resort. We had been skiing the day before and the owls were on stage, and they just see me coming round the side that I was about to play after them, and they just see me limping round, and they're like looking at me like, what's going on? I was late, and I get on stage and this was cramping my hamstring, so it wasn't like a small cramp, it was a big cramp. I was just there leaning forward, like deep breathing, and then I had to do my set, so I just walked on the middle of the stage like slumped forward, like as much as you can be. I've just gone like, look, I don't even know if you can understand me, but I've just been skiing all day yesterday. I had a great time, and like, I can't walk now, really. Yeah. I've had to stand there, like, deep breathing. I got through the whole set. It must have worn off about half an hour into it, but it was definitely eventful. They're all looking at me weirdly.
This isn't the same thing, but I am on tour at the moment. I did Southend, and I'd had a really dodgy curry, like, the night before, right? So the show's in two halves. So I did the first half, fine. Literally, just about to walk on, and like the tour manager, the guy about to say, are you ready? I went, yeah. As soon as they started the music for me to go on, my need a shitometer went up to 100, right? And I was just stood there like, oh fuck, they started the intro music. I can't go, this ain't gonna happen. So I walked on, honestly, man, like I was sweating, like I was properly sweating for like half an hour.
You say anything to him?
Well, I didn't mention it, but I was doing the stand-up, like just doing the show, just going, oh my God, I'm actually going to shit myself. And then I thought, I might try and fart my way out of it. Right? But then I thought, the front row was so close. Yeah. I was just thinking, they're going to get distracted if like I'm doing this stuff and then it's like a fucking chemical weapon's gone off. Do you know what I mean? It was horrible. And then after about 35, what a disgusting story. But after about 35 minutes, I was all right. But as soon as I finished, mate.
You were all right, were you? As soon as you finished,
As soon as I finished my set, I literally, mate, I ran.
Yeah,
I like punched the tour manager to get him out of the way. Just
like me, every show.
There wouldn't be a standing ovation.
Well, I was going to say, but I didn't want to land a minute, but he said himself, so I'm all right.
Every show, I've got to go out and run the beat before Osha comes on. I'm absolutely fine, like, I prep myself.
Yeah.
I go out there, flick the channel up, as soon as I do, I need a shit. And like sometimes there's a toilet backstage, but we played a club like the other week, we were in Switzerland, and to get to the toilet I had to like barge my way through about 1,000 people packing the dance floor.
And then you've got to go to a toilet that's been used by 1,000 people.
Yeah, so I started running the beat, and then I've just had to jump off the stage and like push my way through the crowd. Everyone's trying to like.
Everyone's
grab
going. DJ Putnam's having a shit. DJ Putnam's having a shit.
That way. Get to the toilet, and it's like an inch thick and piss. Oh, but
bad times, man.
What did you do? You still went for a shit?
Oh yeah, I just had to squat from a height and just
standard.
Have you thought about playing a less bassy track? Like the beginning, because that's probably what's happening.
So what you're saying earlier is devilish, mate, when the bass kicks.
There you go, devilish.
Honestly, it's bad. Or Ewok,
Ewok's
that's,
bad.
That's two tracks in. It comes in with a boom, boom.
Yeah.
So if you've made it through devilish, you're like, okay, I'm going to be all right.
If you make it through devilish, make sure you don't break the seal on Ewok, and then you'll be fine. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, man. Hip hop gripes.
I want to ask about live, because like one of the things we always talk about is that we don't, that live hip hop doesn't match up to the recorded stuff. I wanted to particularly ask you about this because it's so difficult to do your lyrics live, I imagine. Because some people talk about, I've seen rappers in interviews talk about how sometimes they have to adjust their verses when they're doing it live and stuff like that. How do you find it?
No one from High Focus said that, did they? They
have to No.
That's not cool, man. People doing that, that's like, I don't rate that. Like, for me personally, I always thought, like, a lot of rappers jump about on stage and like, dab and twerk and do all that sort of weirdness, yeah? Because they think that makes their show better. I'll sooner stand there with my eyes closed, stood completely still and get every lyric right before I walk around. So that's what I used to do. I used to just stand still on stage for the whole set. In between songs, I'd walk about and engage with the crowd. But when I was rapping, I'd just stand still because I'd never miss a word, ever. Like, I never really miss a word. If I miss a word, I'll be annoyed about it. And I'll know, like, oh, in when I did High Street last week, I messed up on... Well, I didn't mess up, but I had to take a breath.
Yeah.
And that will annoy me, do you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, my main thing is getting it spot on. And then that's why I started doing running and all sorts of things like that, because my cardio wasn't good enough to be able to move about on stage and do all the lyrics. It was just about good enough to pretty much do the lyrics, leave out a bar at the end every so often and move around a bit. Whereas now I've got it so that I can kind of hop around as much as I'd want to, get all my lyrics on point, and then there's certain flows and bars that I know I have to just stand still for.
Right.
Make sure I'm not using too much oxygen on jumping about, because there's been a few times where I've tried to stick to it. Like, I've had my rule that, like, I'm not going to miss a word out.
Yeah.
And then I've gone all starry.
Fuck, really?
Yeah, nearly passed out, and then, like, just got to hold it down. And then I think that happened twice, and every time I'd come off stage, I'd be like, when I first started my tour, I'd be like dripping in sweat, but like not to the point where it's normal, do you know what I mean? I'd be like, and then I'd come off and be all shivery and weird, and like I'd have to go to sleep and stuff. Like, it wasn't cool.
It's
hot in the club as well, and it's just generally weird. And then I realised quickly that you have to do a lot of cardio if you want to be able to be on stage jumping about and doing the lyrics and getting it on.
Jesus, so you've actually properly worked at it. Like,
yeah, I drink water all the time, and super like stay on point with that sort of stuff, just to like keep things running smoothly. If you don't, it's not worth it. It's like I've done probably about 10% more shows this year because I've stayed on point and like done my cardio and not got drunk and stuff at the venues and stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's important. You can't do 5 shows in a row doing what I do, or 3 shows in a row.
Yeah.
Unless you finish your show, you have like a lemon and ginger and honey, you drink it, you go back to your hotel, like you go to sleep, you wake up the next day, don't talk to anyone for the whole day, sip on your tea, eat your strepsils, get to the place, don't even do a sound check more than you need to.
Yeah.
And then you get there and you do the show, and then same thing. That's the only way you can do more than 2 or 3 shows in a row. So like you have... That's why, like, most hip hop people won't do more than 2-3 shows in a row. So, like, it's important to like keep your...
I can't imagine there's many people that have worked on their cardio to improve their.
It's because the opportunity was there. I created the opportunity for myself to do something, and I feel like if every rapper had the opportunity that I was presented with once the album dropped, and they were like, "Oh, look, it's been received well. You could go and tour this and do this."
Do that.
I think. Then, if they're presented with that opportunity, they might make the decision after the first show where they couldn't breathe. They might make the decision.
Yeah.
But it's just because it's a weird situation. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've gone from not being alone to being on tours doing loads of shows and stuff. So it was a very clear decision that I had to make. It was like, am I going to do this? Or am I going to just, like, do a few and lose my voice completely?
How much do you get recognised now?
It depends where I am, really. Like, it depends where I am.
In Brighton?
In Brighton, it, like... Yeah, like, I don't know. It's weird saying it about yourself, isn't it? Because I don't know, from my point of view.
I don't mind saying it. I get recognised a lot, man. I'm quite a big fucking deal. No, I'm joking.
I'm trying.
In Brighton, like, I wouldn't go out in Brighton, out clubbing and that. That would be weird. Like, I wouldn't be able to have a nice time with my friends, do you know what I mean?
Do you ever get.
If I was, like, in Crawley,
yeah,
I'd probably be all right bopping around.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a big deal. Might get 1 or 2 or 3 or 4.
But you must get, you must have had, do you not get people wanting to battle you or something, or like try and do some?
Nah.
No?
Kids want to show you a verse, don't they?
You get kids like, oh, like, I have kids come up to me and they're just like, "You're gonna know about me. You're gonna know about me." Like they look, like they look, like you know them. You know when you have the moment with like someone that you respect or whatever, and like he wants that to stay in my mind. Like,
yeah,
comes up to me like slapping. He's like, "You gonna remember me?" And then you're like, "All right, cool, wicked. I'll look out for you." And then that's that. And then you have a few
sweaty kids being aggressive. 16
yeah,
in your
aggressive, age. Aggressive.
Are you
16.
Serious?
Yeah, like in clubs and that, you might have someone like, "Oh, can I show you my bar?" And I like to try and be. So I know a lot of rappers in the scene that are doing their thing at the moment that are properly not very nice to their fans.
Right.
Not on High Focus. Everyone's decent on High Focus, but especially in the grime scene, you get a lot of big names that will just be like, no, if you ask them for a picture and stuff like that. And I'm not like that. Do you know what I mean? I'll sit and do, like the other day we was in Exeter doing a show. We were doing a lot of pictures and stuff like that. And it was getting to the point where it was like, we were dripping in sweat, like just come off stage, wanted to just duck out, but it's worth it because it's an extra 10-15 minutes and then all them people, they respect that you did that.
I was doing Wolverhampton like about a week ago and finished the show, just got ready and I thought the same as you. I thought I'm going to be nice to people, you know, sign shit. And I came out the door and there's like loads of, like, actually loads of people, and I was like, okay guys, no worries. And they're actually waiting for a band that was playing in the other room. I just made a massive dick of myself. I was like, yeah, what would you... I don't know the fuck you are, right?
That happened to... That, I won't name names yet because it's kind of peak, but that happened to someone the other day where there was a rapper we were stood next to and some kids came up and like asked for a picture and we took the picture and then they like turned to the rapper like, and the rapper was like, nah, that's alright, no pictures. And the guy was like, nah, can you hold the camera?
Oh my god.
Too funny, man. It happens though. You don't want to walk in too like headstrong, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could just end badly. But to be honest, that's one thing where I'd do my absolute very best to never let that sort of stuff annoy me, because it's all positive, isn't it, really, at the end of the day. Sometimes you're not in the mood to be chatting with people. Like, that's one thing I like to walk around and just like, I might want to walk to Sainsbury's and get a water wearing my shoes with rips in them.
Yeah.
But if I do that and then I see some eager little rapper that wants to try and mug me off by taking pictures and putting it on social media or something, like, yo, my man can't afford Crips now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things. Like, you can't go out with, you're worried that people are looking at you, judging you, and them sort of things. So like, that's the only thing I don't like about it. But other than that, it's like verification that you're doing your thing and people like rate it and are feeling it. So I love it, man. I think it's one of the things, if it stopped happening, it'd be quite like, oh shit.
Yeah. You'd be like, really, I'm really annoyed about, oh no, it's not, nobody's approached me, shit.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Ramesh is just checking what shoes he's wearing.
No, I don't, it's not a problem for comedians. Yeah,
it's not ripped.
No. Anyway, what are you listening to at the moment? Do you listen to hip hop or do you just so sick of it?
Nah, I don't really.
Yeah.
If I'm honest with you. Unless like it's someone that I know and respect, and then I'll listen to their new project, definitely. I'm a fan of a lot of individuals in the hip hop scene. Yeah. But as of, with regard to like what I listen to on a regular basis,
Do you listen to other music then, non hip hop stuff?
I'd say non hip hop. I wouldn't necessarily say like non rap. I do listen to like I'll listen to like a bit like this. I might listen to the Fugees. That's hip hop still, but it's like it's not UK hip hop. It's not like what you're immediately thinking. But for me at the moment, I'm listening to this guy called Django.
Right.
French guy.
God damn. Mon gars va, je fais ce qui me plaît. T'es qu'une putain, c'est tes fesses qui te paient. Chevalier de noir vêtu, je suis dans le thème Chris Bell. J'ai des problèmes d'attitude, je suis dans le training day. Bientôt j'ai ma carte sob, j'ai que de l'eau dans ma cristalline. Ralenti comme au début, j'entends le 8 Spanish. Dabac à valer inversé comme en kit main libre.
Cause he's mad, he's sick. That's why, but it's just because we was doing a show in Switzerland the other day and these guys come and pick us up and they were playing this music and I was like, yo, who's this guy?
Yeah.
A little bit hooked on French trap.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, really?
Basically at the moment. Our neighbours are getting vexed with us, but it's a French trap thing at the moment. He's like, he's got a mad flow. And I've been listening.
Is it in French?
It's in French,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
That's why I quite like it, because I feel like in the UK, I don't really know who's doing... Because I like listening to like hype stuff, double time, mixed with a sick hook. I like listening to music that I make, sort of thing. That's why I make it. And like that's the sort of... When I can hear a bit of that in someone else, I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to listen to.
Yeah.
Because that's just... For me, you got to mix like the skills of the bars with the catchiness of the hook or whatever, and then you got a good tune there, and he does that quite well. He's got a mad
Django.
He's called Django, yeah.
Check out Django. Okay, we're almost out of time, but I do want to ask you very quickly. Real Smooth.
Yeah.
That video, you look like such a bad man in that video, don't you? Right, so yeah, was that a deliberate fix? So that video, it's you in the 4 hours. I love that track. Mm. The hook is amazing. The beat is such a good track.
I love that track.
But there's this thing where you're just sort of walking around.
Mm.
Is that a deliberate? Did you just say, I just want to look amazing? Was that your whole idea? Was that the concept for the video? Because it made me want to make a rap video.
Oh, yeah.
Like, honestly, because I just sort of thought, shit, man, I want to do that.
No, do you know what? Yeah, that's that aspect of... how do I say it? That aspect of hip hop has been lost in the UK.
Yeah.
That whole like, no, I'm a rapper. I'm not, do you know what I mean? I'm a rapper. This is me doing my thing as a rapper. And now, so when someone does it, it's a bit like, oh, what? Do you know what I mean? I feel like that was the vibe there. But obviously, it was never my intention to like try and like dress a certain way.
Yeah.
I was just, I felt the vibe of the song. It was real smooth, real icy. It's a cool song, do you know what I mean? Obviously, I had to dress in a certain way. I do actually dress like that all the time, anyway.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time. I don't, like, try and, like...
He looks great, by the way, now.
Trampy or whatever.
Yeah.
this is the leaf look.
Yeah.
Camouflage by view. But, yeah, no, I think it was the vibe of the song what made it seem like that, and combined with the fact that I was looking a bit smarter than usual.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that was why. But also, Crooks and Castles, this... I work with them a lot.
Yeah.
And that's their jacket and like their bits and bobs.
Yeah.
So like it helps when all the stuff's new and sort of things, you know what I mean? I wasn't trying anything too subtle there. the guy was in the house was wearing jackies and that's it. The good just was real.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
Listen, man, I've got to tell you, I think you're such an amazing artist. It's so good to have you here.
Thanks, bro.
I think the album is like, it's incredible. It's properly incredible. Is there anything you want to plug or say that are you still on tour? Can people still buy it?
I've only got 3 shows left and two of them, I've got Switzerland next week, Luxembourg the day after that, and then we're back in the UK for Bristol.
Right.
That's going to be sick. Just working on the new stuff.
Yeah.
Look out. Yeah, I got the merch dropping.
Okay.
That's going to be sick. That's all ready to go. Just the new album. People just need to keep an eye out for that.
Listen, if you haven't listened to any of Ocean Wisdom, you need to, honestly, it's incredible. So make sure you check it out. Putnam, Ocean, thank you so much for coming in, man.
Pleasure,
I appreciate
man. Pleasure,
it.
Man.
Bye, Rupert.
Bye.